Ready, set, go!
Welcome into Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Westwood One. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Friday, November 9th, 2018, your daily source for esports and video game discussion. I want to thank everyone listening on ESPN Radio 1300 AM in New Haven, Connecticut, as well as Fox Sports 910 AM in Richmond, Virginia. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, Blizzard is being accused of racial insensitivity after an official Korean language Overwatch stream saw one of the hosts in blackface. Plus, we'll check in with Joe, who's out in Vegas for the Rocket League Championship Series. Those conversations are ahead this hour here on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today with YouTube. News broke yesterday that a YouTuber by the name of Shirako was banned from the platform after posting videos of himself killing feminist characters in Red Dead Redemption 2. Joining me to help break down this kind of dark discussion is the Checkpoint Radio crew, Robbie Landis.
Moving the payload.
And over at the news desk, as well as our Checkpoint drop board, Norris Howard.
It doesn't work.
You have some reservations about doing the news today, Norris.
It's a lot happening.
Yeah, it's a lot to keep track of. We'll forgive you for, you know, if, you know, there's a little bit of bumps in the road. By the way, Joe is out on assignment in Vegas today. Like I said, we'll be checking in with him. He's out reporting for the Rocket League Championship Series, and he'll let us know what the latest is from out there. So let's talk about Shirako getting banned for these videos of Red Dead Redemption 2. Now, Norris, Robbie, you guys have both been playing Red Dead Redemption 2, so I guess inside the game world, it takes place in the time, right in the middle of women's suffrage, mm-hmm. and so to represent that, Rockstar
There's
has
NPCs.
Feminist characters in the game, and it wouldn't be a Rockstar game if you couldn't pretty much beat up or kill anyone that was walking around.
Any NPC, pretty much.
Right.
And so the thing is that this YouTuber by the name of Shirako posted a video entitled, it was called Red Dead Redemption 2, Beating Up an Annoying Feminist.
Right.
There is an NPC that's in the city of Saint Denis. It's like New Orleans, essentially. And there's a woman suffrage activist. And she, you know, stands and yells, you know, all of the appropriate, you know, slogans of the time. And
some of those are great slogans,
some
too.
Some of them are great yeah. slogans. So in this video, he literally just walks up to her and just proceeded to punch this NPC over and over.
In the head, yeah.
Yeah, in the head. What happened afterwards in terms of the response to the video, I think, is the more disturbing of it. Because
right.
you're right. In a Rockstar game, you can pretty much do, quote unquote, whatever you want as it pertains to NPCs. But it was the reaction after the video had gone viral where you saw a lot of anti-feminist rhetoric, a lot of, you know, jokes about abuse towards women, and just,
I mean, there was some pretty vile stuff
yeah,
in there.
Incredibly reprehensible stuff.
But here's the problem, though, is that YouTube stepping in and making a moral decision on content that anyone can act out in the game if they go out and they spend the $60 is, I think, a very troubling precedent here, because they're passing judgment on something that the game freely allows you to do. It's not like somebody hacked that in. It's not like somebody modded that in. It's not, you know, this is not the hot coffee mod.
Exactly.
You know, like,
it's also not the only video on Shirako's channel where he goes about doing stuff like this, and he does it to a multitude of different types of NPCs as well.
But I mean, the thing is that, you know, you guys can make the sort of First Amendment argument, but at the same time, you have to also make some sort of stance when it's clearly being done in a pattern. There's a pattern to this person's posting that is indeed troubling. And, you know, I can't necessarily say, you know, that YouTube shouldn't have acted acted in some capacity. I feel like they had to when they saw what was going on with the reaction from that particular community. I mean, he has videos.
But that's very uneven enforcement for the, you know, content that is found widely throughout the platform.
Let's also,
I mean, again, that's passing a judgment. What happens if YouTube goes, well, I don't like the idea of you shooting that other character. All PUBG videos.
To Norris's comment here about them reacting based on how the community reacted, because the YouTuber doesn't actually speak in any of the videos that I watch. He just plays the game. Right. And so, Norris, what you're suggesting then is that YouTube should moderate videos based on what happens in the comment section?
It's not necessarily what happens in the comments, but there's also a pattern of his posting in the videos themselves. It's not just that. It's almost as if he saw the reaction to this particular video, and I'm not saying that this
tried
is
to
what
capitalize
he did,
on it
and tried to capitalize
so
on
what,
it by
what,
making more controversial videos.
What prevents him from doing that? Like, I mean, you can find it personally morally reprehensible, but that shouldn't preclude him from being able to do that. Again, if I go out and I purchase the game for $60, it's not like those NPCs have some kind of protected or special status. Like, this is something that anyone can do. And the fact that he's not speaking on it at all, I think actually is more to his favor in this case, because it doesn't seem like he's egging it on or trying to, you know, make some kind of grander point out of it.
But I think,
it's like if you went into Grand Theft Auto 5 and you picked a certain type of NPC to target and you made a series of videos on that. I mean, does it make you look like an a-hole? Yeah, probably. But at the same time, the platform shouldn't prevent you from doing that.
But
problematic.
But
to pick and choose based on content is hugely problematic for a site as large and ubiquitous as YouTube, and for a company as large and ubiquitous as Google.
Yeah, it may be, but at the same time, don't you think that Google would have some sort of moral responsibility to not have what could be construed as propaganda on their channel? Because again, if
there's no way that could be construed as propaganda. That is reaching.
You're saying it can't be construed as that, and yet in those comments, that's how people are taking it.
Someone
it's becoming
says,
exactly a cesspool in there.
I want more killable SJW NPCs in this game. Thumbs up if you agree.
Like, come on, man. We can't look at these videos out of context and just say, oh, that's what they are, so you have to let them be that. No, what I'm saying is, this is a person who made a concerted effort to be okay with posting the objectionable content, that they saw the reaction that they were getting in the comments, and they continue to do it.
So
that's somebody who's being toxic.
So I make a video series killing dudes with goofy mustaches because I don't like goofy mustaches. Should YouTube ban my channel? Should YouTube demonetize me? Where do you draw the line?
No, but dude, again, you're taking that out of context because it's the same thing. None of this stuff happens in a vacuum. You can't compare mustaches to women because women are an entirely subset
okay,
of people and
okay,
they have experience.
Okay,
of
I
oppression.
I go around in Grand Theft Auto and I kill hookers. Now, you can't tell me that there are no videos out there of people just killing hookers over and over and over again in Grand Theft Auto. BS if you think that's true.
I'm not saying
okay,
that.
Okay, so what makes
are.
It different? So what makes it different? What, they're prostitutes, so they're less of people?
No, it makes it different because you're acting like, you know, a context of 15 or 10 years ago is the same as now. Yeah, stuff is recontextualized. People can go back and look at that and say, you know what? That's not cool. That's not what
well,
we want to represent.
Dan Houser is shaking like a little scared little puppy at the idea of making a new Grand Theft Auto game. Because where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line? Should Rockstar have made the NPCs special and not killable?
No, I don't. First of all, I don't think any of this has to do with Rockstar in particular, because again, they didn't create that pattern. The person who posted those videos created that pattern. They created a pattern of somebody saying, you know what? I'm going to pick on women and I'm going to create a video that says deporting a Mexican and I'm going to tie him to a horse and drive him and ride him into a river. Like, come on, man. This is stuff that we're talking about that are hot button issues that this person is taking advantage of.
Yeah, but you can't blur that line so much to say that that's hate speech. Come on.
I think you could.
No, I don't. That's
I
reaching.
I think you could.
That is reaching.
I think you could.
No
I think
way.
You could completely take a pattern of videos or a statement that somebody's trying to make through digital means and say that it's propaganda and say that it's hate speech. Because if somebody went around and says, I only kill all the black NPCs or all the white NPCs and made it a racial thing, I think people would be much quicker to look at it and say,
you don't think no one has ever done that in a Grand Theft Auto game ever.
Yeah, and they probably got their accounts banned on the
I doubt that.
Platform.
I very much doubt that. I doubt anyone has ever seen action taken against their account because of something they did in a game. That's ridiculous. The only time I've ever heard about action being taken about somebody's account is if they've done something illegal or harmed someone or actually projected hate speech.
Well, clearly,
none of that has happened here.
Well, clearly the one difference in this case is the visibility of the videos, right? It went viral. I think that's the reason that it came under fire. There probably were people reporting it. And despite it being banned, YouTube did actually a few hours later reverse their decision, saying that in the review process, sometimes mistakes can be made.
Well, and see, there you go. And I think YouTube made the right call there because this is a slippery slope. And all I'm saying is if you make this call, where do you draw the distinction in future calls? Because now that you've unlocked Pandora's box, you know that if it didn't exist on the platform before, it's definitely going to now, because now they know the button that they can push to get a reaction out of the platform. Bad move on YouTube's part all around. But then again, it is a private platform. They own it, so they get to make the call. But listen, we want to hear from you. Do you think that YouTube overstepped here? Has everything been righted now that the account was restored? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _XP on the gram. Still ahead on Checkpoint, Blizzard is taking some heat after a Korean Overwatch host appeared on stream in blackface. Ugh. Plus, we'll check in with Joe over at the Rocket League Championship Series. Those discussions are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, since Joe's out in Vegas, we'll check in with Norris over at the Checkpoint News Desk.
Oh, crap.
Gaming news is next here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint, Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointRadio.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, Esports and Gaming Radio. Want to thank everyone listening on KNPR 1050 in San Francisco and the Big 920 in Milwaukee. Still ahead today on Checkpoint XP Daily, there is this nasty little incident with the Overwatch Korean, official Overwatch Korean stream, and a caster being in blackface.
Oh,
we're going to break down that situation a little bit ahead here on Checkpoint. Plus, Joe's going to be reporting out from the RLCS. He's checking out some great Rocket League action in Vegas. We'll check in with him a little bit later here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Norris Howard over at our Checkpoint News Desk and get a gaming news update.
Gaming News Update with Joe Sloan.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointRadio.com.
UEFA, the administrative body for soccer in Europe, and EA have announced the eChampions League for FIFA 19.
Why are we leading with this story?
Because Norris is the newsman today.
Well, no.
Little bias much?
Whatever, but the winner will take home 100K out of the 280K, and they'll get like the most amount of points you can get for the FIFA Global Series. Man, that's a lot of money.
All right, cool. Footy news.
Yeah,
awesome.
Cool.
Shut up.
I'm more concerned with car footy, which we'll be talking to Joe a little bit later on in the show.
Either way.
The glare from the other side of the room was epic.
He's trying to remain professional, and I respect that.
Dr. Disrespect's Code Red Fortnite tournament came to a close with the duo Hamlins and Reverse 2K taking home most of the 20K prize pool. Interestingly, the competition didn't have a special lobby for itself, so players had to join in squads of four, and the duo with the most eliminations got to move on.
Oh, no. Wow. That is a really bad way to administrate a tournament.
It screams out janky.
Yeah, right? Like, I'm really disappointed that Halifax, though, didn't show up to play. So, whatever. Come on, my boy, Hallie.
Overwatch fans finally got a look at the official branding for the first Chinese OWL expansion team, the Guangzhou Charge. The reveal, along with the Paris Eternal, further confirms leaks from the OWL app this week that showed off logos from every expansion team coming this season except for Vancouver.
This is so disappointing. It really is. I mean, even with the official skins being showed off next to that logo, I still was unimpressed.
It didn't help at all.
No, and I'm not a big fan of the colors that they chose for their team either. I'm still, I gotta say, I'm still rocking with Toronto.
Yeah, they got that real teal era Pistons color scheme going on. It's bad.
Yeah.
Staying with Overwatch, Atlanta Reign player and renowned Overwatch troll DeFriend says that he is still a Reign player despite claiming that he was quitting the game. In a tweet, he stated that it wasn't a debate. Sometimes I have these days and make dumb mistakes. Going forward, I'm going to stream less and focus on making myself and my team better.
So, do you guys have any hope for XQC version 2.0?
Nope.
Can't say that I do. Not at all.
He's not starting off on a good foot, let's put it that way.
What is the over-under of this kid in the league?
Oh, you think he's going to make it even to the beginning of the season at this rate?
Yikes.
If he debuts, I don't see him lasting much through stage two.
I remember him getting banned for throwing earlier in the year and then claiming that the reason he threw was because he just didn't want to play professional Overwatch anymore.
Why would anyone sign this kid? He seems like he is a walking disaster. Yeah.
Longtime classic strategy guide maker Prima Games is shutting down.
No! Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Aww. In a memo, the CEO of parent company DK, Ian Houston, said the dynamics for us in this fast-paced landscape have continued to prove difficult. The company will start closing offices this month, with full discontinuation expected by spring 2019.
I mean, in the era of wikis, I don't see much reason for Prima anymore. But I mean, they were some great guys, man.
There's a certain little part of like the kid in you that's like, man, I had all their, well, not all their guys, but a lot of their guys. Yes.
I had all the best ones.
That's right.
Yeah.
In collaboration with Japanese advertising house Dentsu, Singapore-based martial arts promoter One Championship is investing $50 million into esports next year.
Wow.
The promoters say that it's going to have blockbuster games, end quote, and will run events in conjunction with its martial arts events.
Ooh.
One Esports says it plans to air documentaries and reality shows over its platforms in over 130 countries.
I don't know. I'm a little bit worried by blockbuster games because the B in blockbuster is capitalized, which makes me think that they just bought the old Blockbuster Games library of games. So they're going to be competitively playing stuff like BMX XXX and
doesn't work.
Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2.
You know, but with all the injections we've seen into esports,
who can collect skate first?
We still haven't seen very much in terms of content, like as far as like documentaries and like looks inside of the actual sports themselves.
I don't know what documentaries are. But documentaries, no, we haven't seen many of those.
That is an area that I think a lot of people are still itching for.
The OWL's Boston Uprising announced the Collegiate Cup for aspiring Overwatch teams in the New England area. Online qualifying is set for November 17th and 18th, with the live final taking place December 8th. The venue has yet to be announced.
You hear that, everyone listening in the Boston area? You have till the 17th and 18th of this month to get your act together and compete in the Boston Uprising Collegiate Cup. This seems like a really cool opportunity.
Yeah. In an interview with CNBC's Jim Cramer, Take-Two Interactive CEO Strauss Zelnick stated that the 17 million units of Red Dead 2 surpassed the total sales of the life of the original game, stating that in 8 days, the game outsold its predecessor of 8 years.
Whoa.
Zelnick went on to say it exceeded even the expectations of Take-Two themselves.
You know what makes me mad about this article? This is excellent. Congratulations to Rockstar and Take-Two. You know what makes me mad about this? Why is he talking to CNBC's Jim Cramer?
Why does
listen,
dude,
the man
anything has the launch that Red dead hat and made as much money that quickly. You talking to Jim Cramer.
I understand that. But listen, the man, I respect him for his drop board. It is massive, oversized, and silly.
It is great.
And I will give him all the credit in the world for that. But that seems like an odd... You know what? I just want Strauss Zelnick to come on this show and talk about how many units Red Dead Redemption 2 made.
I agree.
That's what I... I'm just jealous. That's all.
That's all from the Checkpoint News Desk. For more, hop over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thank you, Norris, for the update. Nice job on that, by the way. The Nintendo Switch has finally got its second app nearly a year after the system first launched. Nintendo and YouTube announced that the YouTube app was available for the Switch, which begs the question, just what the hell is taking so long with Netflix and any other app?
I don't know.
Two now. That's... Hulu and YouTube.
Yes.
That's it.
That's it.
That is it.
Here's the thing. Hulu, I can't stand Hulu. So literally, it might as well be the What Will You Do in A Handmaid's Tale machine to me.
Well, you know that they put episodes of SmackDown and Raw on there now, too.
Still don't care.
If you miss it, you can catch it there.
There's
legitimately good stuff.
Nope, don't care.
Are actually legitimately good Hulu originals, too.
All right, that's not the point, though, Nate.
No, you're right.
That exists between a phone and a console that has all types of apps on both of them. How does this still only have two apps?
Where's
the Twitch app?
Because Nintendo is draconian.
That's a great point.
Nintendo is notoriously draconic when it comes draconian when it comes to their software.
Do they turn into dragons?
Yes, because
that's what draconic means. No, but I do understand. But I think part of the issue is that, you know, a lot of portable systems, at least recently, have operated off of Android base sort of systems, right? So the underpinnings for most of the apps, the language doesn't change between them. I think like 90% sure that the Vita was even based on a Android operating system. Okay, so we're talking about Nintendo. They're not going to base their operating system off of Android.
It's
going to be developed in-house at Nintendo. So I think developing for that operating system is going to be much, much different than it is for, you know, operating for a browser or for an app.
No, I think that's totally true. And I think that what this shows is that Nintendo, along with almost everything they've been doing for the past 2 years now, is sort of opening up a little bit.
Yeah.
And saying, you know, we welcome these things.
Absolutely. Dark Flux in our chat asking, originally Nintendo said that they weren't going to put any apps on it. No, they said it wasn't going to launch with any apps. That's what they said.
Which was true.
Yeah, and it didn't. And,
for a long time.
It's definitely taken some time to get that development off the ground. But I do think, I mean, they have to have a Netflix app, right?
Like, they gotta.
I mean, that's what sold me on buying an Xbox 360. It got the Netflix app first, and I went, I need to have that. I need that in my life.
Yeah, and I mean, on top of that, there's so many other apps that could, you know, go along with this. Twitch is one that you guys named that's absolutely a travesty that they don't have it. It is unacceptable that
the Nintendo Switch doesn't have a Twitch app.
Yeah.
With how transformative it is. And I'm sure that Amazon's going to want to get in on that too. Mm-hmm. So you'll probably get an Amazon Prime app in there as well. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Do you think that the Switch needs more apps? Have you checked out the YouTube app? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint, we'll check in with Joe out in Las Vegas for the Rocket League Championship Series. That conversation is ahead in about 15 minutes here on Checkpoint. But ahead next, Blizzard is taking some heat after one of their Korean hosts dressed up using blackface on an official Overwatch stream. Yikes. Stick around. We'll unpack that story ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint Radio. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointradio.com. This is Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointRadio.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily. I want to thank everyone listening on 101 Sports in St. Louis and WOKR 1310 in Rochester, New York. Make sure you visit our website over at CheckpointXP.com for full episodes on demand, both of our weekly national show and the brand new Checkpoint Daily. podcasts like the Checkpoint Podcast, as well as our Overwatch podcast, Low Team Damage. And by the way, we've got a ton of different podcasts in the work, so you guys can look forward to that. That's coming fairly soon. We've also got an archive of our interviews like Uber and Puckett casters for the Overwatch League, esports lawyer Ryan Fairchild, and probably one of our finest interviews to date, an epic 20-minute conversation with Arnie Roth, the conductor for Distant Worlds. He's also a member of Mannheim Steamroller, if you didn't know. Find all of those over at our website, checkpointxp.com. Blizzard is taking some heat after a recent official Korean language Overwatch stream. During the presentation, the host decided to do a cosplay segment. Well, one of the hosts dressed up as Doomfist, and there was blackface. I don't know what else to say.
You knew what was coming.
Yeah.
The moment that that
Doomfist was uttered.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. You knew this was coming. So during a stream on the official, this is important now, the official South Korean Blizzard stream, one of the casters applied Doomfist makeup to a fellow caster by the name of Kim Binban Jinyoung.
And not just like the tribal stuff, the whole thing.
The
whole shebang.
Whole thing. Here's the thing. And you know, again, I understand that I have a different context and a different sort of reaction to this type of stuff. But I understand that Korea doesn't have the same sort of cultural sensitivities.
Despite this actually happening quite a bit in the past few years.
Yeah, I understand that it's a different part of the world with a different context for certain stuff. I understand that. However, there's quite a few black folks in Korea. It's not like there's aliens.
But I mean, now, Robbie, you had just alluded to a couple of notable incidents in Korean pop culture where this has happened.
There was a J-pop band, I think, sometime last year that did a Bruno Mars cover and
But again, this is a conversation every time that it happens. And I mean, I can't believe that the entire country of Korea just goes tone deaf every time
that happens.
It's ridiculous. No, they should have known. Like, they should have known better, and someone should have hit the brakes on that.
And this is the part that I find very irritating, because Korea, particularly the Seoul area, is literally, statistically, the most internet accessible place on Earth.
Yeah.
There is no better place to have the web than in South Korea. So it's not like the information is not there for them to understand. And with the amount of not just U.S. to Korea immigration for education purposes, but there's still, you know, military installations in South Korea that we're allied to that have African-Americans at those bases. There are African-American immigrants.
It shouldn't have been a mystery.
It's no longer we didn't know.
We don't need Scooby-Doo and the gang to come fill us in that, hey, blackface is racist, guys.
Yeah, yeah. What's also perturbing about this situation, too, is so far no comment from Blizzard, and it's not like they don't realize they did something wrong, because if you try to find that video, it is gone now.
Mm. Right, so there's obviously either an acknowledgement from either those particular platforms like Twitch, and Twitch took it down themselves,
or
Blizzard took it down themselves.
Or even someone underneath who maybe realized, we screwed up, let's get this down, and hopefully trying to sweep it under the rug before hiring.
I don't want to believe that Blizzard is trying to minimize the damage.
No, not necessarily Blizzard, because since this was on the South Korean Overwatch channel, I have to wonder how much communication there is between like Blizzard proper here and what's happening over there.
If you think Blizzard ain't heavily installed in what's going on in South Korea based on their esports scene alone, if you think that Blizzard doesn't have people there who are specifically there that have all of the context for how South Korea works that allowed this to go on the official channel.
There's enough production people involved in this process where somebody should have put the brakes on this and hard.
So the fact that it didn't now, how does Blizzard need to respond?
Oh, there needs to be a full apology. I mean, I don't want to try to advocate for someone getting fired. Yeah, I mean, that's not my business, trying to get somebody fired out of their job. But I definitely think just an apology and, you know, just it's tone deaf. It's not, you know, no one did anything outwardly super offensive when it happened, but just the nature of it is offensive enough where I think it probably deserves an apology, if not from the casters themselves, at least from Blizzard.
I mean, they filmed Black Panther and Soul.
Yeah, there you go. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Daily, your source for esports and video game discussion. I want to thank everyone listening on WXSM Tri-Cities, Tennessee, as well as ESPN Phoenix 620. And this wasn't the only, unfortunately, racially charged conversation that's been happening around Overwatch specifically, because apparently some concept art from
came out for Ashe, where at one point she was imagined as an African American woman, and so now people are kind of up in arms about, you know, why haven't we got an African American female hero yet?
Now that is a fair question. Why haven't we gotten one yet? But I don't know that it's as fair of a question to go, why did that change? I mean, character designs change all the time in character designing processes. You can't point to one change and go, why specifically that? I don't question artists on that level, so I don't know if that's a fair accusation to hurl at them.
And on top of that, and don't get me wrong, I too would love African-American hero, male or female. I would love it. Yeah, I think it'll be dope. But at the same time, also understand that a lot goes into development, and especially with stuff like voice acting. And when Blizzard, I think, got the opportunity to work with somebody like Jennifer Hale, who is amazing and
a legend
in terms of voice acting.
Absolutely.
In the video game world, I think there was some, even if it was subconscious, types of decision making going, okay, this is a better voice, this is a better face for this
fit
voice.
For the voice, yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's, all of those are fair, by the way, for Blizzard to do. Blizzard shouldn't be held to account because, again, something in the character design process changes. They're allowed to do that. That's part of the creative process. And, you know, someone mentioned this in the chat, Omega Weltall. Overwatch has been very inclusive. Blizzard has designed characters with forethought to what's happening in our modern culture. Just look at the conversation that happened around Tracer.
Yeah, and to be perfectly honest, Farrah and Ana are Egyptian, dark-skinned Egyptian, so they black. And, you know, Effie, even though she's a side character, the person who built Orisa, mm-hmm. she's, you know, unambiguous African character in the same way that Doomfist is.
I have no doubt that we'll get one.
Oh, we will, without
Absolutely.
A shadow of a doubt.
Absolutely. But listen, we want to hear from you. How fair are those criticisms to level at Blizzard? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on the gram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to check in with Joe, who's hanging out in Vegas. That lucky son of a gun. He's getting to check out Rocket League action at the RLCS. We're going to check in with Joe coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
Checkpoint, esports and gaming radio. This is Checkpoint, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointRadio.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, esports and gaming radio. I want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Make sure you're following us on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Throughout the week, you can also tune in for Checkpoint XP shows on our Twitch channel. When you do, you can subscribe to our channel using your Amazon Prime membership at no additional charge. When you subscribe to Checkpoint XP on Twitch, you get extra benefits. It's free when you use your Amazon Prime membership. Just go to twitch.tv/checkpointxp and join us during the week for more insight on esports and to be a part of the show. I'm sure loyal listeners have been missing hearing Joe's voice. Well, the reason he's not here today is because he's out in Las Vegas covering the Rocket League Championship Series. He joins us now by phone. Joe, how's it going?
Hey, it's going great, guys. How about you?
We are enjoying your replacement today, which is the Mercy stand, which is
that's
usually...
Tracer. That's Tracer.
I'm sorry, Tracer stand that's usually in our studio.
He doesn't play Overwatch.
No, well, I knew that. I just
attractive than me.
We were just talking about Mercy, and that's why. Anyway, so, Joe, what is going on out at the Orléans at the, at the RLCS?
Dude, it's been awesome out here. They've got a really cool esports arena set up going on here. The matches have just been stellar. Every single match so far has gone to a game five. A bunch of them have gone to overtime game five. Everything's been hyper competitive. No blowouts. It's been really awesome.
That's fantastic. So what have been some of the epic matchups that you've seen today so far?
I just finished watching Cloud9 versus WeDem Girls, and that was such a back-and-forth match. It was so good. I mean, WeDem Girls gets the first game. Cloud9 comes back and just dominates in games two and three. It was just a raffle stomp. And then WeDem Girls power back in game four and five and ended up taking the series.
Wow. So a lot with of back-and-forth, too, then.
So with that said, I mean, Cloud9 is absolutely stacked. I mean, Squishy Tournament and Gimmick are, like, you know, some of the best in the world at Rocket League, and really the guy that I recognize from WeDem Girls is Matt Sonoris. Has he been leading the charge? Who's been the standout player for WeDem Girls?
You know what? Ignite was really good too. Matt Sonoris did play very well. And I mean, you know, as good as Cloud9 is, and Squishy made an unbelievable play in that game. So, I mean, it's not to say that he hasn't been great. I mean, when you look at the bracket, Cloud9 might be the fourth best team here. Like, you've got NRG, who are insanely good. You've got Dignitas, is probably the best team in the world. I mean, they've won it a bunch of times. They're here. I mean, the card is unbelievable.
Now, I also saw, too, that G2 actually got knocked out by Flipside Tactics. Now, I'm only noticing JNaps from the roster there. How did they perform?
Yeah, G2 looked pretty good. I mean, again, everyone looked good. Every match has gone to five games. It's not like anyone has like showed up and not played well. But yeah, G2 got bounced down to the losers bracket as well. Flipside Tactics looked awesome. The first match of the day we had, or the first one that I got to see rather, was PSG and Chiefs ESC, an Oceanic team who came in here and they completed a reverse sweep. That was awesome. It's been a day.
So I want to hear more about the esports arena setup that they have over at the Orléans? Like, how do you actually say it? Is there?
Well, I mean, okay. So I've asked three people here, and they've all pronounced it differently, and they've condescendingly while doing it.
We're not alone, then. Okay, I feel a lot better about that. All right, so tell us a little bit about the setup. What have they? What have they brought in? What have they set up to be able to make Rocket League viewable?
So this arena, first of all, is one of the first ones I've been to that actually looks like a traditional arena. Like when you think of what a hockey arena or a basketball arena would look like, it's got the concourse, the large pathways into the actual stadium area. They've got it all set up, you know, WWE style, with one side having a big stage kind of, and a huge Titantron on there. They've got the drop-down video screens in the middle. It looks awesome. It's really easy to watch.
So if you could gauge the crowd that's out there, because when we went out to the Rocket League Universal Open in Stamford, Connecticut, it was a really unique viewing experience, because you normally, when you watch esports, you're watching it in some kind of live crowd capacity. Talk about the live audience that the RLCS is receiving out there.
So I would say the live audience is, it's not humongous, but it is passionate. It's definitely, like, the place isn't sold out by any means. I would say it's about half full-ish. But no one is here looking bored. Everyone's excited. There's loud cheers and chants, especially for the people rooting for the European team.
It is Friday of a 3-day tournament too. So there's more opportunities for people to show up a little bit later when the stakes are higher too.
Well, and as we saw too, when we went out to the Universal Open, you know, being some of the first time that we got to really see, you know, sort of the live action of Rocket League, it pulls you in. You can't not
absolutely
get passionate watching that game.
Totally.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially, like I say, anyone who's here rooting for the European teams, I've never seen so many coordinated chants in my entire life. Like Norris, you watch You watch soccer. You know what I'm talking about.
I'm so angry because I would love to be in there for something like that, man. That sounds like amazing.
That sounds like a very live and lit environment. I'm definitely a little bit jealous. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Daily. I want to thank everyone listening on KNBR 1050 in San Francisco and the Big 920 in Milwaukee. We're currently catching up with Joe, who's out in Vegas for the RLCS. Now, comparing again to the Rocket League Universe Open 3-on-3, what more have you observed in your time with 3-on-3 Rocket League? What other takeaways have you been able to come up with?
Yeah, it's definitely more of a team game than is 2v2, where that's more about, you know, showing off. And actually, one of the things that everyone's been talking about, all the different teams we've spoken to in the group interviews today, have been talking about how the kind of showman meta is disappearing out of Rocket League. It's not about who has the best player anymore. It's about who has the best teamwork, and that's why Dignitas is so ridiculously good. Like, mechanically, they're not the best players in the world, but they play as a team so well that they win a lot of games because of it. So what I'm seeing a lot here is teamwork trumps talent almost every game.
And that is very much at odds with what we saw out at the Universal Open, where you could have one dynamite player that ends up running away and carrying the team, and that was actually much more critical.
But with that said, Joe, we got some more matches coming up in the loser's bracket and in the semifinals. Cloud9 versus Tainted Minds, who do you take?
I think Cloud9. Squishy looked unbelievable. Torment is really solid in the back, and Gimmick is doing what his thing. I thought they looked really good, and they had really good teamwork. So I would take Cloud9 to win that one.
Then after that, we have G2 Esports versus PSG Esports. Who comes out?
This is tough. We just talked to PSG a minute ago. They were a little bummed out. They lost and went down the loser's bracket today. G2 is pretty tough. I'm going to go with G2.
All right, we're going to have to leave it right there. Thanks, Joe. We appreciated checking with you out at the RLCS Championships in Vegas. Get home safely. We'll check in again with you a little bit, maybe on Monday. I'm not sure, but we'll definitely look forward to having you back in studio on Tuesday.
All right, guys, have a good one.
All right, thanks for joining us for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show for esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website at checkpointxp.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a full archive of episodes, podcasts, and interviews. Checkpoint XP Daily will be back on Monday with more esports and video game discussion. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. I want to thank our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Corpus, and of course my co-hosts who pulled double duties as producers for Checkpoint. Robbie Landis. Over at the Checkpoint News Desk for today, Norris Howard. And out in Vegas, Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Radio, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointradio.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.